The Bible, if you're taking notes, consists of 66 books written by 40 different authors. So it's not just one guy named Brian that wrote the Bible, okay? There is so much more to the Bible than just some guy that decided to pen it all out and make it all make sense in order. No, it's 66 books written by 40 different authors. It spans a tremendous amount of time. And what is wild is as you look through the scriptures, you can see the fingerprint of God present throughout the entirety of scriptures. What do I mean by that? I mean that in the Bible itself, Old Testament, New Testament, spanning hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, written by many different authors, the Bible tells a tale that supports itself in its entirety, and it is quite miraculous in how it does it. If you want more information on that, join Build Group and learn a bit through Build Group from Peyton and Alicia about the mechanics and the structure of the Bible and some of the beautiful things that we see unfold in the mystery and the history of the Word of God. So the scripture is evidence of God reaching beyond time and space to get a hold of our hearts. That's right. So God is not some distant, far-off being way out there in space that is separate from you. He desires to know you. The story of creation is a story of him building an intimate relationship with his people. And the Bible paints that picture for us, okay? It's evidence of God reaching beyond time and space to get a hold of our hearts. It is as applicable today as it was thousands of years ago. And the effects of it not only span generations, but get this is wild. The effects of the scriptures also span dimensions. That's right. The Bible itself, the Word of God, reaches out beyond time and space. It is interdimensional. It is amazing when you consider it that way. Pretty wild stuff. So it spans generations, it spans dimensions, and the Bible speaks of God's relationship with his people. With, first of all, the Israelites, because God is the God of Jacob, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It spans the history of the Israelites and God's people, and it also spans into our lives. We are Gentiles. We are not Israelites. But in spite of the fact that we are not part of that bloodline, God has still made a way, because the work of Christ upon the cross wasn't just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. It was for the Jews and the Greeks. It was for them and for us. It was for all of us. And it speaks of this beautiful relationship of God and his people. It talks about the history of creation. It talks about early civilizations in the world. It sets the trajectory for Jesus Christ to appear on the scene 2,000 years ago. And so when we look at the Bible, there's good reason to have an excitement about it and want to dig into it. There are few documents that exist on the planet that have the historical accuracy that the Bible does. But what's amazing is beyond history, it speaks to the beautiful mystery that we have in our faith, and we can learn from it. So that's number one. The Bible. We're going to be covering more of that in the coming months. So the second piece that we're going to be kind of overviewing in the future is God, mankind, and sin. God, mankind, and sin. So God created us and the world that we live in. He made it all. He is not far off from any of it. He created us. He created you. He created me with intention for the purpose of relationship. And that is a beautiful thing. So he created us with intention for the purpose of relationship. If you're here this morning and somebody at some point in your life said you're a mistake or you're an accident or you weren't supposed to be around or what are you even doing with yourself, I just want to come against any of those things that have been spoken over you. It's not true, okay? It is not true. God knew you when you were being stitched together in your mother's womb. Okay? There is nothing about your life that is a mistake or an accident. He intentionally created you. And it's so important to adopt that understanding, not only into your vocabulary, but into your mindset. You aren't an accident. You're not just, we had a mistake. You are a blessed creation created by God with purpose and intention for the sake of having relationships, not only with other people, but most importantly, a relationship with God. And he made you for that. And what's interesting is we, the big we, I mean like the broader global we of people, have sin in our lives. Now we have personal sin as well, but we have been born into sin. Why? Well, that came through Adam and Eve, the first humans, and they sinned, and that there was a corruption that came into our lives from that moment. And you think, well, how is it possible that two people can change the direction of the entirety of the world in front of us? Well, God made perfect creation in Adam and Eve. And then through sin, sin was adopted into their lives, and it actually corrupted their code. It corrupted the code of their spirit. So malware is introduced, and it causes a lot of grief of anything that comes from that. If you're into computers or into that nerdy sort of thing, you get an operating system and it works really well. Everything's great. You click and you move and everything's wonderful. Then you connect to the internet. And then when you connect to the internet, you're like, I'm going to watch free TV on one of these weird sites that I have to click on all these ads first in order to, and some of you are tracking with me, and because you won't pay for Netflix, but you're happy to go and get all the viruses that exist in the world on your computers because it's free. So you go and click on all these sites, and you like click through all these ads because you just want to watch a soccer game in Europe. And I haven't done that, by the way. I'm not speaking from personal experience, but I have helped many people whose computers have been affected by this. And so you click on all these things just to have a payoff of being able to watch free TV, but then your computer runs slow, it's bogged down, it's not connecting properly. Suddenly somebody's spending time in your computer and they're affecting it and they're reading your emails and causing all sorts of grief. Well, a virus has been introduced because you've clicked on something that you shouldn't be clicking on. Welcome to sin. You've stepped outside of the perfect plan of what the operating system is supposed to do, and you click on sin, and sin gets introduced into your life, and it opens up all these things into your life that you never expected or intended, but guess what? You shouldn't have clicked on it to begin with. So, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you, that means everybody else around here. This isn't just like a one-off situation. And humanity and individually, we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin has actually caused a separation between us and God. God desires a perfect, unified relationship between us and Him, or Him and us. But sin separates that. So how do we deal with sin? Well, we have to go before God and allow Him to minister to us. We try other ways to deal with sin in our lives, right? So we get the McAfee virus scanner. We get that, we download it, we make sure it's connected onto the system. But then we all know that that thing causes far more grief than any virus ever did to begin with. And then it keeps you trapped in an eternal hell of trying to click on this darn thing because the virus scanner isn't working, or it tells you you have viruses when you don't have viruses. The whole thing is a nightmare. And if you think you're exempt from all this because Apple is better than any Google product, I'll tell you what. Apple will still slow down your products as time goes on and make you pay for more expensive ones, and they do it legally, and it's horrible, and we think there has to be a better way. The better way is Jesus, and just to not deal with all that stuff to begin with, okay? So we think it's better. We think one's better than the other, but it still is all a mess, and it's all far from God, so just stick to the right stuff, okay? So sin separates us from God. It introduces malware into our spiritual code. But God began a plan from the beginning to save us from the very sin that we become entrenched in. It's true. God created a way. At the very beginning, Adam and Eve sinned, and out of that, God created a way for us to have a right relationship with Him. And we see that unfold in the scripture. And so God wants a relationship with us. Mankind has sinned. We have individually sinned. We've put up barriers between us and God because of the things we've introduced into our lives, all because we just wanted free television. And God puts, what's amazing is that God began a plan to save us from the very sin that we had become entrenched in. And God actually put structures and orders in place for mankind to follow. Now, nobody here likes following the rules. I mean, some of you think, oh, I love following rules. Rule following is fantastic. You're still going to go and pick up a 20 that falls on the ground, and you're not going to go and tap on the person that's 30 feet in front of you and say, hey, did you happen to drop a 20? You're like, oh, the Lord blessed me with a 20 today. No, He didn't. And we're still going to, no matter how good of a life we live, we're still going to experience the effects of the mess that we are steeped in. And God put structures and orders in place for mankind to follow. In fact, perfect structures and orders. Now, do you think we want to follow those rules? No, we don't. We get silly. We think our way is better. And we learn over time that we continue to try our way. And for a season, it seems better. But then over time, time elapses and we fall short of the perfect intention that God has. So God put these things in place out of a deep love for us, not a punishment. So we're going to learn throughout in the coming months and weeks that God put order and structure in place, not punitively because He hates you. He put orders and structures in place and rules to follow because he has a deep love for you. He loves you deeply. Now, if I said, hey, it's not worth clicking on the free football game in Germany because it's going to ruin your computer, and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm just going to take my chances here, and you do it, well, guess what? I'm sorry, you're on your own. You've done the thing. You shouldn't have done the thing. Well, God makes a way for us to be restored unto him, and we've all clicked on the thing. We've all done the thing that we shouldn't have done outside of God's perfect order. But in spite of that, he still makes a way for us to know him and be in relationship with him. And what's beautiful is he comes in and he ministers to, fixes, and repairs that brokenness in our lives. God's rules and structures exist so that we can continue to lead full lives, even in spite of the very nature that we have adopted through sin. The God that we worship is the same God as we see in the Old Testament. So another kind of popular line of thinking is that, well, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. It's not true. Same God. Nothing has changed. He is the same forever, always, and a day. It is the reality of who he is. The person of God, as we see unfold through the entirety of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we can even see the person and character of God unfold in other historical and scriptural books, which I think is a beautiful thing to be able to glean from history. And so we're going to be learning about God, his relationship with mankind, the sin that separates us from him, and the way that we have to see hope and joy out of that mess, which leads us to salvation. So we've talked about the Bible. We've given an overview of God, mankind, and sin. And now let's take a peek at salvation. So I'm hitting you with a fire hose this morning, but I want you to glean from this morning the fact that we are going to unpack these things in the coming weeks and months. We're going to go deeper, but we all need to have a basic starting point of where to start from, okay? So salvation. So because God's desire to have a relationship with his creation, he desires that deeply, he made a way for that relationship to occur. Okay, God made a way for that relationship to be revitalized or healed. We have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. How do we get back? How do we see a restoration? How do we see healing and repair occur? So the way that God made is the way, and still is the way, and it's through one person, and that person was, is, and always will be Jesus. Jesus is the way. He, in fact, says about himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the way. So a lot of times we think, well, isn't just being a good person the way that we get into heaven? I mean, being a good person is great. Good job. Way to go, being a good person. High five. This is great. There's a lot of people that aren't good people. Being a good person is nice. Does it affect your eternity? No, it doesn't affect your eternity. Jesus affects your eternity. So the way that God made was and is and still is and will be only through Jesus. Jesus is the way. And that's why thousands of years ago, the people that followed Jesus were actually called the people of the way. That was actually the title that was given to them, and we see that in the Bible. We don't see Christianity or Christians unfolded too much in scriptures, but what we do see is the terminology that still sticks today is the people of the way. If you haven't seen the movie, The Jesus Revolution? Is that what it's called? Yeah. They talk about the Jesus people, the Jesus freaks. These are people of the way, people that choose to follow Jesus. They follow the way, the truth, and the life. That terminology has still stuck to this day. And even before the term Christian existed, people chose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ because he was and is the only way, the only truth, and the only source of eternal life. So our salvation comes through Jesus. If we want to have a restored relationship with our Creator, it needs to come through Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the one who makes that way possible. How? He makes that way possible by dealing with the sin in our lives, the mess that we've caused to ourselves, the things that we have inherited into our code that is broken and messed up, and Jesus deals with those things. And that's what I love to look at the next point here. We've talked about salvation, now let's talk about freedom. So in salvation, we see that we are saved from who we used to be. We are saved from our past. We are given new life in Christ Jesus. And then in that new life, we have freedom that comes from God. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus came to earth in the form of a child, all right? We just had Christmas. We've heard all about it. Little baby Jesus in a manger, but Jesus is going to return one day, and it's far from just being a little baby in a manger. He's going to be returning with might and power and authority, which is pretty wild. But Jesus came to earth in the form of a child. And Jesus, the one who saves you, has lessened himself for our sake. He stepped out of a position of deity, fully God, and became fully man so that we could know our Creator through him. Jesus became the one to cause our relationship with our Creator to be a relatable relationship, a way to connect with him. And what I think is wild is that God, our Creator, reached out beyond time and space and gave us his Son, Jesus, to show us that he is not unfamiliar with the reality of what we will face in the life that we live. God is not unfamiliar with your circumstances. God is not unfamiliar with your position in life. God is not unfamiliar with the challenges and the struggles that you have dealt with or are dealing with or will deal with. He is not unfamiliar to these things. What's amazing is that to show he loves you and wants to be intimate with you, he made a way for that connection with God to occur. And he made that way through Jesus. And Jesus shows us through his life that he was fully God and yet fully man, and he became that connection point between us and God, and it's a beautiful thing. So in that very sin that we were destined to be shackled to, Jesus broke off the chains of sin, shame, and guilt, and sickness, and the like, and he actually changed, he transformed our destinies. And while we will not live forever in these bodies, we have eternal life in as new creations in Christ Jesus. And that goes beyond the very short term of life that we have here on this side of the grave. So Jesus broke off the chains of sin, shame, guilt, condemnation, sickness, and he changed our eternities. And Jesus came to bring freedom. And that is indeed, he does bring freedom. He didn't just come to bring it. He does bring it today for you. And when we accept him, we accept that he is the way. And we submit our lives to be under his life. And we receive the greatest gift of freedom that you could ever possibly imagine. In this choosing to follow Jesus, there is a choice of surrender. There is a choice of surrender. True freedom does not come until there is a decision to surrender. I've talked about it before. You look at a fish, and a fish is in its lake. It has infinite freedom within the bounds of the lake that it exists in. And sometimes that fish might think, oh, I'd like to be up on that shore and maybe stretch my legs a little bit and see what's beyond the borders of the sandy beach. And it flops up on the beach and suddenly finds itself without any of the things that it needs in order to survive. Well, those terrible boundaries and barriers of the lake seemed horrible from the inside, but when you're on the outside, you realize, wait a second, all that I needed to live and exist freely and completely were in the healthy bounds of the lake that I was placed in. And you know, in Jesus, as we surrender to him, as we surrender to our Creator, and we say, not my will, which is my will to be up on that beach, to go and sun myself in the beautiful sunshine and to maybe explore through the forest. That's my will. But I was not designed to live in that. I was designed to live in the healthy bounds that God has made for me. So daily, as we choose Jesus, we actually choose freedom to live in the healthy boundaries that he has created for us. Sure, there'll be times where we want to step beyond that, but ultimately it doesn't lead to long-term health. So as we accept Jesus, we accept that he is the way. We submit our lives to be under his life. That means we are subservient to him. We choose to be. And in that, we received a beautiful gift, the beautiful gift of freedom that is more grand than we could ever imagine. Now, yes, there's a battle that exists. We always want more. We always want the things that we ought not to have. We always want to chase after the stuff that probably isn't the best for us. But I will tell you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is better always to surrender to the ways of Christ. And in this, as we choose to surrender, we actually become set apart. Our mindsets change. Our desires change. Our heart attitudes change. There's a shift in how we connect and communicate and relate to one another. We become set apart. It is a process of regeneration and restoration that we go through. And in Christ, it says in the scriptures that we actually become new creations. We are no longer enslaved to our own lives, but rather we have new life in Christ Jesus alone. Now that fish that's flopped out on shore is all of us. And we're baking in that sun and we are losing life completely and quickly. But it takes an external source to come in and scoop us up and place us back to where we need to be. And that is our relationship with God. We call out and say, God, we need you desperately. And God responds and says, I've made a way. And in that making of a way, he picks us up and places us where we need to be. And it can be scary at times. We can wrestle with the foolishness of the decisions that we've made. We can wrestle with, oh God, I don't know if I'm ready to go back to where I need to be. I promise you, if he's tapping you on your heart and he's drawing you unto himself, it is time to make that decision. It is time to return to him. Maybe it's time for the first time ever to say yes to him or to call out to him because you've tried your own way and it hasn't brought life to you. So we've talked about the Bible. We've given an overview of that. We've given an overview of God, mankind, and sin. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about freedom. And now let's talk about eternal life. And these are all pieces that in the coming weeks and months, we are going to unpack more of as we look through the scriptures and we dig into Christianity. So eternal life. Yes, sure. Our current physical lives become different as we say yes to Jesus. Yes, they change. Our lives change. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. When we say yes to the Lord, we aren't the same as we used to be. Sure, there's little shadows and echoes that are still there, and that's just the reality of the life we live in, but we don't have to be there anymore. And actually, before I step into this next one, regarding shadows and echoes, I think it's important to remember this because we can have setbacks that happen in our lives that will spiral us down a dangerous road to go down. And that's of doubt and guilt and shame and self-condemnation. So I want to tell you this morning before we move on to the next piece. You may have gone through some stuff in life. You may have experienced some events that are just catastrophic. They are difficult. They are horrible. Maybe you have been the perpetrator of these things. Maybe you have had them done to you. Okay? I want to tell you this morning that when you say yes to Jesus and you call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to save me from the mess that I am in, okay? He does. He is immediate to respond. He brings healing and restoration. He starts restoring your soul. There are things that you will pay the piper for on this side of the grave until the day you die. It's just the reality of the fallen world we live in. But the restoration and healing of your soul begins to occur. Now, you may have gone through some serious stuff, and the event is over, but you get reminded of the event every once in a while. Anybody experienced that before? Where you've gone through some really miserable stuff, you've had things done to you, or you've done things to other people, or to yourself, and you're not there anymore, but you get those reminders of what's gone on, okay? I want to give you a little tool that we use when we're dealing with counseling, is you have experienced an event, but you aren't there anymore, even though you've had reminders of the event. So imagine you're on a ledge of a cliff and you've got a mountain range in front of you and you're standing there and you just get it all out. You scream and you yell and it's all the mess and the chaos all coming out of you at once and you stop and there's silence. The event's over. But in moments you hear that echo. And it reminds you of what's gone on just moments ago. And it reminds you of everything that you just got out of your system. It kind of brings it all back. And then you wait and there's silence. And a little more time passes before you get an echo again. Now that echo isn't the event anymore. That echo is just a shadow. It's just a remnant. It's a reminder. I want to encourage you this morning that echo versus the actual event are two different things. When you say yes to Jesus, but you still experience some echoes, don't fall back into the calamity of where you used to be because you had that reminder come back. I want to encourage you this morning that time, as you say yes to Jesus, time that God has ordained allows those echoes to dissipate and he moves you to different places in your life. For a little while, you may hear some of those echoes. And you may think, oh, Pastor, this isn't working. This whole saying yes to Jesus thing isn't working. I want to encourage you that this beautiful thing of time that God has ordained for us to live in right now, as that time elapses, the echoes become less, and we move beyond the moments that we used to be trapped in. I want to encourage you that this morning. So that today, when you choose to say yes to Jesus, don't be caught off guard when you get one of those reminders that come back. You can look at it for what it is. You can cognitively recognize, yes, I was there, but I am not there anymore, and I will not go back to that place again. You know, you have a powerful tool at your disposal. And the tool is recognizing that God has removed you from where you used to be. Don't live in your past anymore. And that brings us to, as we move from this place of recognizing that we have freedom and we've been set free and these chains no longer bind us, I want to encourage you this morning with the eternal life that we have in God. Our current physical lives are different when we say yes to Jesus. Yeah, they are. Our habits change. Our ideals change. Our thoughts and our mannerisms change. Our language often begins to change. You could almost say that, you know, maybe in a sense we've been reborn. But I find that the greater gift than even that is the gift of a transformed eternity. The gift of a transformed eternity. You see, pre-Jesus, pre-saying yes to Christ, we all have a common eternity, and that common eternity is a separation from God forever. It doesn't mean that we stop existing living. It means that we exist completely separate from the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. An eternity separate from God is a real thing. And sometimes it can be scary. And my goal this morning isn't to scare you with that. That's not the point at all. Because when there is beautiful hope of the eternity we have with God, the other piece doesn't even matter anymore. But there is a beautiful miracle that occurs where our eternity becomes transformed. We go from an eternity of experiencing a separation from God to step into an eternity of life and life in abundance with our Creator. And that can't happen when we've got our lives full of sin and mess that we refuse to deal with. There needs to be a humbling that occurs in our lives saying, yes, I have screwed up. I have messed up. I have hurt people. I have hurt myself. I have caused a tremendous amount of pain. I may never be able to make things right on this side of the grave, but God, I need you. And he gives us exactly what we don't deserve. When we call upon his name, we are saved. But what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? No. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we are saved. And we no longer go back to what we used to be steeped in. And he gives us this beautiful gift of eternal life where our eternities are actually changed. And that is a gorgeous gift. Yes, we may pass away from cancer on this side of the grave. We may enter into eternity missing a toe because we lost it during frostbite season. We may have a disability that isn't answered for or isn't dealt with on this side of eternity. But in eternity with God, after this life, we have the fullness of new life because of him. We were once destined for the grave, but now because of the work of Christ on that cross, we are given the unfathomably free gift of eternal life through Jesus. It is a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to tithe more to get a better spot in heaven. It doesn't work that way. You just need to say yes to Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. And what does this mean? Well, this means as much as Jesus was raised to life after the crucifixion, we too will be raised to new life in Christ Jesus when we die. We will be given new eternities, new bodies. We will be fully restored. And we will be in eternity in heaven with the Lord. And when we die to ourselves, we die to ourselves, then we die naturally, but then out of that we live eternally. There are two deaths we get to experience on this side of the grave. We die to ourselves, we die naturally, but then we have eternal life. The other side of it is if we don't die to ourselves and we only die naturally, we won't live eternally in a relationship with God. So there's a decision that comes with saying yes to Jesus, and that decision is to say, God, I choose you today. I don't choose my past, I don't choose where I've come from, I don't choose what I want for my own future, I choose your will. May your will be done in my life, not my own. We choose daily to die to ourselves. And then when we do pass away on this side of the dirt, we will meet him in glory. Worship team, I'm going to call you up. And if this seems a little bit confusing to you, maybe you're young and naive and you haven't gone through much life yet and you're thinking, well, life's pretty good. It can't get any worse than anything I've ever gone through. I think I'm going to stick to my own path. Go to town. Have a blast. You're gonna have a great time for a season. But a time will come where you come face to face with the reality that life isn't what you expected it to be, and you will experience some challenges. You're going to experience hardships. You're going to chase after trying to fix those hardships by introducing other challenges into your life. Maybe you'll want to gain control. Maybe you'll want to have authority. Maybe you'll want to exercise power over other individuals. Maybe you'll become steeped in addiction, trying to fix the pain and the hurt that is in your life, in the depths of your heart. But I want to encourage you this morning that now is the time. More than ever before in the history of your whole life, now is the time. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus. Today is the day where you say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I want to live a life that follows in the footsteps of Jesus, not trying to chase after my own things. You see, the gift of life isn't just for good people. In fact, Jesus didn't come to help the already good people. Jesus came as the physician to deal with the sick. The doctor doesn't deal with the healthy, unless you are people that go to the Canadian ERs with just a sniffle. The doctor, our good doctor, our heavenly doctor, deals with the sick and the broken, the hurt, and the destroyed, the ones that are in prison, the ones that are being held captive. That's us. And we can pretend for a long time that we've got it all sorted out and our lives are good. We've figured out our own structures and ways to have everything sorted and in their right little boxes, and we'll just continue being good people. And it's fine to be a good person. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to be nice. But the reality is on this side of the grave, we can't have healing and restoration in our cardia, our soul, the innermost part of our being, unless that comes first through recognizing we need the Lord to bring that healing. You know, there's something pretty unreal that begins to occur as we say yes to Jesus. And you might not see it right away. You might feel it right away, but you might not see the evidence of it right away. But just like seeds planted in a garden that has been prepared and fertilized and tilled and in the right location, those seeds planted, we can't see the evidence of it right away, but as time goes on, we begin to see something sprout out of that soil. And the gardener nurtures that, waters it, fertilizes it, make sure that it gets the sunlight that it needs. And as time elapses, as time goes on, that once planted little seed in the right soil begins to produce fruit, which actually brings sustenance to others. When we live a life that is just a quote-unquote good life, it's easy just to focus on ourselves and have an inward perspective. But if we want our lives to be used with purpose and intention the way that God created our lives to be, we have to first be okay with him planting seeds in that soil of our hearts. And he nurtures it. He ministers to it. He puts other folks in our lives that can water it and fertilize it. And out of his wisdom, he causes this seed to grow and produce fruit. And when you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to a life that actually will affect others. And not just affecting others like, hey, you did a nice thing for someone today at the grocery store. But I'm talking affecting others for the sake of their eternities being transformed. He will open up your eyes to the hurting and the lost in your community. He'll give you eyes to see beyond yourself. So remove the selfishness that maybe existed there before and cause you to look outside rather than being introspective all the time. He gives us a hope for our future where maybe once we were hopeless. Jesus came to give the sinners, that's you and that's me, the very gift that we absolutely do not deserve. We don't deserve to have life. We don't deserve to have hope, joy, help, and healing. We don't deserve to have an eternal life because there's no good that we can perform that is good enough to earn that. However, what we can do is we can receive. That means that Jesus came for you and he came for me, but we can't get helped unless we first admit that we need it. It comes to a place of saying, Jesus, I need you. It means that we must adorn ourselves in humility and recognize that God's ways are better than our ways. He is the way, the only way, and we need all that he has for us, not just a little bit. So church, I would encourage you to stand this morning, please. As we get ready to close our service off with some worship, I just want to extend this out to you this morning. If you're here today, right now, in this moment, in real time with me, or you're joining in on the podcast, or on a live stream, or checking it on YouTube later, I want to give you a chance this morning to say yes to Jesus. And I think we get so caught up in all the stuff that goes on in life that we often neglect to take that time of stopping and saying, Jesus, I need you. I mean, if it happens to me on a weekly basis, I'm confident it happens to you guys. Either that or I'm just crazy and I'm a bad Christian. I don't know. But I have those moments that hit me. It's like, man, things have been sideways. Man, I can't keep my head above water. Boy, I'm not able to get things straight. My brain is feeling foggy. I'm just not with it. And I feel that distance between me and my Creator growing. It's because I haven't rekindled that relationship with him. I haven't fanned that flame into a fire. So whether you're new here this morning or just joining in or you've never said yes to the Lord before, or you have and you've ran far the other direction and now you're trying to figure out where to even start again. His love is a gentle love. And it is kind and merciful. He is not interested in striking you dead and bringing you ruin and pouring out hate and anger upon you. In fact, God made a way through Jesus to stave off that punishment. When we say yes to Jesus, the wrath of God is removed and the hope and the joy of a future comes into our lives. Where we've been outsiders, we're brought in to a family. If that's you this morning and you're in this place of saying, I need to say yes to Jesus, I want to encourage you that when you do say yes, you're saying yes to the greatest adventure that you could ever possibly imagine unfolding. It'll take time. Some of you are going to get in the Instapot of faith and it's going to be a lot happening really quick. Some of you will be in the slow cooker, praise the Lord, and that's okay. But it is going to be a wild ride. And not only on this side of the grave, but the next. So if that's you this morning and you're ready just to say yes to the Lord, or you've been here for a long time and you're ready to say yes again, You can close your eyes and you can just put that hand up in the air. Say, yes, today is the day I'm saying yes. And you can repeat this prayer with me. Jesus, I need you. I need to repent of the wrong that I've done in my life. Thank you for taking my sin from me and giving me a new life. I choose to follow you today. I choose to follow you tomorrow. I choose to give my life to you, Lord. Please guide me into your truth. Lead me in your ways alone all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. If that was you this morning and you said yes to Jesus, please connect with a pastor after the service. We want to make sure that we make that connection point with you and are able to follow up with you. If you're joining us online or checking out on a podcast, feel free to email or call in. We want to make sure that you have the tools you need on the road you're going down.